Take out your sermon notes, and biblical motherhood is what I've entitled this. And it's just a few, kind of almost a devotional about what I think motherhood is presented as in Scripture. There's a lot more. The Bible speaks much about mothers and fathers and families because God chose to put us into relationships, human relationships, because that's where you learn. That's where you get to learn how to be social. You learn about failure. You learn about forgiveness, or at least I hope you do. Christina used the word dysfunctional. That's a psychological word that's used a lot now, but we're all dysfunctional because the Bible says all have sinned. So we all have this failure, and a lot of times we don't know what to do with it. So a lot of people are stuck concerning family members or stuck concerning the relationship with mom and dad and siblings. And I think we need to look at what the Bible says about how to look past it. I was encouraged by what Ari was saying, how God seems to have brought reconciliation after years of, you know how that goes in families. We go our own ways, we get stubborn, we say, forget you, we run out the door, stuff like that. And as time goes by, like Orlinda says, we start remembering, oh yeah, mom said this, oh yeah, dad said that. In the first service, one lady said, I didn't get to know my mom because she died when I was a child. And she goes, but everybody tells me that I look just like my mom, so I get to see my mom every day when I look in the mirror. She said, I thought that was funny. It was pretty cool. Now, we are commanded by God in the Scriptures. There's a command, not optional, to honor our parents. There is no qualification concerning this command, that is to say. God doesn't say, honor them if they were nice, honor them if they treated you good, honor them if. There is no qualification here. It simply says to honor. Before I read it, let me say why. If you don't honor the very most basic relationship in your life, the first relationship that you come into earth with is you and your mother, and then you and your mother and father. If you don't honor that, then you won't be able to honor anything else, because all the rest of life is about relationships. You've got to honor, because that'll help you to honor God, help you to honor your brothers, your sisters, help you to honor your fellow man. Because if you don't, you'll be in a world of hurt. So God puts us in this really intense relationship for purpose. Watch. In the Ten Commandments, there's two tablets, as you know. The first tablet gives us the commandments between us and God. Thou shalt have no other God before me, thou shalt make thyself no graven image, etc. Then the second tablet is our relationship between each other. So it's about how you treat each other. But the first commandment on the second tablet is this one. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Now, Paul the Apostle explains it later on in Ephesians, where he says, children, that word children in Greek means technos. That means anybody that comes from parent. That means all of us. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You may think, well, I'm an adult now. I don't have to obey my folks. That's not the issue. The issue is, do you honor? You've heard a lot of people share this about what their folks taught them. When you're young, you kind of rebel against it, but then you come back to it. Obey your parents and the Lord. It's right. Honor your father and mother. It is the first commandment with a promise, said the Apostle Paul. What's the promise? That means there's all of the other commandments, the promise is inferred. If you do this, then it's inferred. This one spells it out. If you honor your father and your mother, then your life will go well with you, and you will live long on the earth. You know, they're always searching, why do people live 100 years old? Why do people live this long? Let's go to this island people there. It's because they're only eating fish or whatever. But one of the things that I know they're leaving out is, how have you treated your very close relationships? How have you treated that? How have you treated your mom, your dad, your grandparents? That's very important, because that determines how the rest of your life goes. According to this verse and this passage, it determines how your life is. Because God doesn't let you get by with being dishonoring to your parents. He'll visit you with it. There's a negative connotation that if you don't honor them, then the opposite will happen. Life won't go well with you, and you won't live long and healthy on the earth. So the Bible is giving us, God, should we say, is giving us a basic instruction about human life. This is extremely important, okay? We are commanded by God to honor our parents. And you say, well, you're making me feel guilty. Good. I hope so. If you need to rectify something in your life about this, then do so. You must, because you're not exempted from this. No one is exempted. It doesn't say, honor your parents, everybody except for Jimmy. It doesn't say that. It's everyone. Now, we are expected, in the Bible, God expects us to care for our parents in their old age. See, what do you mean care for them? On Mother's Day, I'll send them a card. Is that care? My brother came by yesterday. Goes, really, Mother's Day is 360 days a year, 365 days a year. Okay, that's what Mother's Day is. If you think about it, we many times have minimized everything to, oh, this is the special day. I'll go visit Mom. I'll take her out to dinner and see you next year, Mom. Well, thanks a lot, right? I think parents, or we want relationship with our the people that are in our lives. We want it daily, don't we? If any widow has children or grandchildren, interesting that it extends to grandchildren, let them, that means the children and grandchildren, first learn to practice godliness in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents. In those days when the Bible was written, there was no such thing as an old folks home. You went to somebody's house and there was always an old folk in there. Like Christina, you said your grandma came. Why? Because that's what families did. There was no old folks home. People didn't do that. They took care of their own. For this is acceptable in the sight of God. My daughter came and visited my wife, her mother, yesterday, and she also sat with my mother, who's 82. And then as she came out, she works in the medical field. She said, it's a good thing you guys are here with her, because she probably wouldn't do really well. She probably would have died in one of the old folks' homes, which is true. The quality of life for an older person, if some people are around them that love them, care about them, they do better. It's just the way it is, okay? You were brought into existence through your mother. You were brought into existence into this world through her. This is one of the reasons, the primary reason, that God expects you to honor them. Now, let's read this together. Thou didst form my inward parts. Thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance in the book. They were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. So it's, the Bible actually says that you came into existence through your mother and father. He knit you together. He formed you from the dust of the earth. He saw your unformed substance before you came into existence. He already anticipated your whole life. So motherhood is a blessing, okay, and it is a gift. That's the next point. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body, says Deuteronomy 28:4. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body. That's a promise. And then it also says this in Psalm 127. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Psalm 127. In our culture today, we somehow have been convinced that children are a nuisance. They are too expensive. It's too much hassle. It'll mess up my figure. Whatever. We have this strange thought about parenthood now that wasn't common 100 years ago. People always wanted to have big families, and if they couldn't have them, they felt bad. Read that in the Bible. Abraham and Sarah couldn't have babies. And finally, Jacob and Rachel and Rebecca couldn't have babies. Rebecca couldn't. Was it Rebecca or Rachel? Well, anyway, he married two sisters. It was a long story in Genesis, but one of them couldn't have babies. She goes, yeah, it was Rachel. She goes, give me children or I'll die. And Jacob goes, what can I do? It's not my fault. Or the other wife's having plenty of children. You're not. I mean, but again, people used to feel bad if they couldn't have children. Now, why am I saying this? What does this have to do with today? Because our culture has minimized the value of children. Our culture has decided that having children is too, it interferes with my life, with my happiness, with my career, with my life. And it's too expensive. I tell people, God is pro-family, and God will provide for you if you have family. My wife and I had six children. We have six grandchildren, and probably eventually more on the way. And I'll say this, that we had no money. We had nothing. We just had ourselves, and we worked, and we took care of our family, and we raised them, and God was there and he provided for us. So please don't be afraid of this thing of having family and having children. It's not an inconvenience. It's actually a blessing. The blessing comes back to you in many, many ways. Okay? You say, well, it's too late for me. I can't have kids anymore, and I decided not to a long time ago. Well, there's more in this sermon for you, okay? Motherhood is a metaphor of God's love for us. In Isaiah 66, it says, as one whom his mother comforts, so I, God, will comfort you, Israel, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Now, let me explain what's being said here. The context of that whole passage is that Israel had always had this tumultuous relationship with God. They would always fail. They would always abandon him, betray him, turn to other gods. And God was always coming back to them. And he says, just like a mother, I come back. Just like a mother comforts. Now, when I was in prison ministry, I would notice that there was hardly ever any of the adult men visiting their kids in jail. It was always mom. Just like in the football, right? Hi, mom. They always say hi, mom. They never say hi, dad, right? So it's hi, mom, because mothers love their kids even though they're total failures. They love them. Now, why is that so? Because God's showing us in this metaphor that the way he loves is the way a mother loves. The way a mother loves is the way God loves. Meaning even when we have totally messed our lives up, he still loves you. There's still an opportunity for you to get it right. He's still waiting for you to turn back to him, and he'll dust you off. And yes, there's consequence for a lifetime of rebellion and disobedience. But in time, if you get things right with God, everything else will start to go right in your life if you listen, okay? So motherhood is a metaphor of God's love for us. Also, Eve attributed conception and birth to the Lord. She attributed how she brought the first human being into the world that wasn't directly created. Adam and Eve were directly created by God, but Cain and Abel and everyone else since, except for Jesus, were brought into this world through what we call procreation. God uses a mother and a father to bring us into the world. So watch what it says here. In Genesis 4, Adam had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain, and said, I have gotten a man-child. Now watch what it says here, with the help of the Lord. My wife and I would laugh, because every time we went in to have a baby, we would hear somebody say when they give, look what we made. You didn't make the baby. God allowed you to have that baby come into the world. And it's right to say, the Lord helped me bring this child into this world, okay? Now in this case, Cain, he's the firstborn, and he becomes the first murderer. And who does he murder? His brother. It's a strange thing, because immediately Adam and Eve saw the consequence of sin in their lives, because sin infected even their own children, okay? And that's why we have to get right with God, because he can take care of the sin problem if you let him. Now, motherly instinct was intended to be as strong as the love of God, okay? I say it that way because in this passage in Isaiah, it says something curious. Watch. Isaiah 49. Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even if these forget. So God, being God, is able to see every example of human motherhood on earth that ever existed. And he sees that there's going to be a day and an age where people are on drugs, people are on alcohol, people don't take care of their own, right? And he sees that. He understands that even mothers, even human mothers, can forget and not have compassion on their own children. But God doesn't. Even these may forget. I, God, will not forget you. That's a neat promise. And like I said, God uses the metaphor of motherhood's love to show us his kind of love. He loves you so much that even if you did abandon your offspring, like Patty got to share with us a minute ago, that her mom, her birth mother, gave her up when she was born, even so, God still loves. Even so, it's not the worst sin that can't be forgiven. The Bible says that all manner of sin will be forgiven man except for blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. So any sin that you've ever done, even if you abandon your children, God can forgive that. Now, can he make it all right again? I don't know. In time, things get made right, but it takes time, many times, to heal a wound that is deep. Depending on the depth of the wounds, how long it takes to heal, okay? that's really important to see, if you will, in the comparison physically and spiritually. Emotionally and spiritually, when somebody is hurt by somebody else that they're real close to, it takes a while for that wound to heal spiritually and emotionally, okay? Just understand that. Spiritual motherhood is just as important as physical motherhood. Spiritual motherhood. Now, this is for the women that never had children, because there's many women who have never had children. In the Bible, many of the patriarchs of the Bible, Abraham and Sarah and Jacob and Rachel and others, they couldn't have kids. John the Baptist's mom and dad, they couldn't have kids. And God eventually visited them and they had kids. By the way, if you ever have trouble with this, don't go to the fertility centers. Pray. Ask God. Tell God, please help me. Help me with this. If you want me to have children, send children into my life. You know, when we ask God, he answers. We look at technology more a lot of times than we look at God, and that's unfortunate. He makes the barren woman abide in the house as a joyful mother of children. Now, again, we're far removed from this feeling and this concept, because in the old culture days, if you didn't have children as a woman in culture, you were kind of looked at down on. People kind of, they looked like maybe you were cursed of God or something. And God is saying here, way, way back in the Old Testament in Psalms, that even a barren woman who can't give birth, she'll abide in the house. She'll still have an influence as a joyful mother of children. Isn't this cool? This is cool to see. Now, physical and spiritual mothers should instruct children in godliness. What does it mean to be a mother anyway? Just to give birth? That's just the beginning of motherhood, actually. That's the beginning of physical motherhood. What about the rest of motherhood and fatherhood? It's instruction and teaching and guiding. I'll show you. The words of King Lemuel, the oracle which his mother taught him, Proverbs 31. King Lemuel is a pen name, if you will, a pseudonym for Solomon. And when I read this time, this year, I said, wow, this is interesting, because Solomon was, who was his mom? Bathsheba. You know who Bathsheba was? She's the one that David the king made a big, huge, huge sin with, right? Okay, he actually had her husband, with whom he committed adultery with his wife, Bathsheba. He murdered him. He was the king, and he ordered him to be killed, and he was, so that he could marry her. But Bathsheba, we always look at that as, oh, she must have been a bad woman, was she? Because it says here that she taught Solomon. And we know from scriptures that Solomon was given wisdom from God, such as no man has ever had until Jesus came. So this woman taught Solomon the things of God. This is why God elevated Solomon to the throne. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue, Proverbs 31. Again, referring in Solomon's mind to Bathsheba. Now, parents are to instill respect for authority into their children. What are we to do? I'm saying parents here now, because it's Mother's Day, but mother and father should go together. Now, I know we had a lot of people share about single moms raise the kids, and that happens a lot today, unfortunately. Maybe somebody died or somebody abandoned the family, I don't know. Still, though, we're to instruct every child in authority. Why? Because if we don't instruct them how to respect authority, and it begins with mom and dad, it begins with brother and sister, if they don't respect that, guess what? Everywhere you go, they won't respect anybody. How many of you now in today's culture, you go around and you wonder, man, these people are really rude. Where's that coming from? Have you ever wondered? Go to the South, and everybody there, I don't know if they really mean it, but they all say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. It's interesting to me that that's a characteristic of cultures that have been influenced with Christian teaching. But it goes deeper than that. It's not just yes, sir, no, ma'am. It's do you really have respect for authority? Watch this. Proverbs, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves his son disciplines him diligently. Now, please don't think that it means not daughters. It means your child, okay? Now, I want to correct something here in case you misread this. This does not mean beat your kids with a stick. That's not what it's saying here. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, said David the king. What is a good shepherd? What does he do? He guides. He teaches. He takes them to green pastures, right? Okay, what is a parent to do? Is to disciple. That word disciple is the same word used here. In the English language, disciple and discipline are equal. You see, you get this? What is our job as parents? To teach. It is not to beat a kid. I mean, ask CYFD what happens so much with people hurting their children physically. Yes, once in a while I'll spank a kid's hand if they're sticking their hand into the light socket. I don't want them to do that. But I don't do it with all my might, do you? Whack! Break their hand. I mean, some people don't understand this. You have to. The Bible is not saying you should beat your kids. It is saying discipline them. Apply correct disciplinary measures according to the need. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will remove it far from him. What is this saying? We are born with the nature of Adam and Eve. Plus, when you're first born as a newborn kid, you don't know anything. You don't know the dangers that are out there. The parent knows them. So what's the parent's job? To be careful with the child, and when they stray off, to go bring them back. You see it in nature, right? You see the parents of a new deer, a new whatever, and they watch them, a new bear cub, and they get themselves in trouble. They fall off the cliff or whatever, and the parent tries to keep them from doing that. We understand that when somebody's first born and young in the world, they don't know everything yet. So it takes a mature adult person called a parent to guide them and show them the way, to show them into the future, to keep them from danger. And especially now more than ever, people, listen. There are so many people that want to stick their oar into your family's life, and you, the parent, need to filter that, because they're going to tell your kids all. I can't tell you. Ask Anthony, our security guy, how many kids, young kids, are getting taken by people, strangers who contact them through social media, and then, oh, meet me out here, and boom, they're gone. You have to be listo. In Spanish, we call it listo, meaning you have to have your antenna up. You have to always be watching. Why? Because there's always something trying to get at your family and your kids and your grandkids and people that you love. Now, mothers, you wonder why people end up drug addicts, because something comes in. How did that get in? Parent didn't do it. Sometimes. Mothers should model. I put should because it's not always so, but they should model faith for their children to emulate. It is your job as a parent. It is not the state's job. It is not even the church's job. Did you know that in church history, when the concept of Sunday school was first introduced, many Bible-believing churches said, hey, that's not right. You know why what their argument was? Their argument was that is the responsibility of the parents. It is not the responsibility of the church directly. Indirectly, yes, but the parents must teach their children. And that's true. Even God says that. Now watch. I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, Paul writing to Timothy. It was first in your grandmother, and now it's in your mother, Eunice, and I'm sure it's in you as well. So he shows here three generations of people who had faith, a grandmother, her daughter, and she gave it to her son. So you see how important it is for you to model faith to your children, to model belief in the Lord to your children. And by the way, it's not enough just to do that, model it. You must be more specific with it. Mothers should see to scriptural education of their children. Again, it is not in the public square. They can't teach children about faith because they've already, through precedent, shackled their hands. They can't do it in public education. They cannot prefer one religion over another. Therefore, the responsibility for teaching your children about God and Jesus and heaven and everything you know about the Bible, it falls to you. It is your responsibility. Teach your children well. Remember that old song? Teach your children well. Well, teach them about the Lord. Watch this. From childhood, Paul says to Timothy again, same man, you have known what? The sacred writings. Oh, well, who first gives a child a Bible? Mom and dad. My mother got a text from her great niece. Let me think. I forget how it is. Anyway, and she just became a doctor yesterday. No, 2 days ago. And she texts back my mom, thank you so much, Grandma, Auntie Jane, for great Auntie Jane, for helping me to come to Christ and to God. And my mom says, how did I do that? She goes, well, when I was little, I was born, you gave a Bible to my parents to give to me. And through that, I became a Christian, a Bible. You've known the sacred writings. What are the sacred writings? Well, they're right here. A lot of people say, oh, no, that's just a book written by men. You've been duped. Who told you that? Who told you that the Bible was just a book written by men? Did you know that the Bible doesn't say that of its own self? The Bible says that it is the Word of God. The Bible says that heaven and earth may pass away, but my Word will never pass away. The Bible is more permanent than even the current creation, because it is through the Word of God, which He's given some of it to us here, some. It's what is responsible for giving us what we now live in. And the Word of God is going to be ultimately totally fulfilled. That's why we are a Bible church, and our emphasis here at Grace is always Bible, Bible, Bible. Why? There's so many superstitions, so many false doctrines, so many false teachers out there, even churches that call themselves churches that aren't churches anymore because they don't believe this book. From childhood, you've known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So you as a mother and a father, your duty is to give your children scriptural education. Because how much, I got a question for you. I asked a man this morning whose son, who's only, I think he's 5 years old, has cancer. And they've been going with him. He's halfway through his treatment now. And he told me, man, it's really hard. And I go, well, what's going on? He goes, well, I've been in this thing, and there's 20 rooms at the Cancer Center for Children in Albuquerque, and there's already been 3 kids die. And he goes, and I'm scared. And I go, I understand that, and I'm sure it's a nightmare to watch a little 5-year-old boy go through that. But there might be something more at play here, because how much do you love your wife? He goes, I love her a lot. And I go, well, do you realize that she doesn't have faith in Christ? He goes, yeah. He goes, well, she's got a worse cancer than your son has. Because if she doesn't have faith in Christ, her eternal soul is at stake. You see here? You say, well, why doesn't God just stop all of that stuff? He will. Don't worry. He will. There's not going to be babies with cancer anymore in eternity. No more sickness, no more pain, no more death. That's coming. But we need Christ. And without Christ and without the scriptures, it says here, you won't have the wisdom, that means the smarts, the information, if you will, not smarts, to lead you to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Unless you think that this book is just a white guy's book. Well, I'm not a white guy, okay? I'm a brown guy. I'm a mix of northern New Mexico. I'm everything, whatever, you know, Heinz 57 is. There's even a German somewhere in my family line. I don't care what my background is, but I know this. This book was written by Jewish people, not white guys. And the Jewish people, Jesus said this, salvation is of the Jews. And it says they were given the oracles of God. They, in Romans it says, they, the Jews, were given the oracles of God. What are the oracles of God? Oracles means the sayings of God. Here they are. They're in the Bible. Well, I don't believe in that. I believe there's a lot of other scriptures. Okay, go for that. Go for them. And you'll end up in some crazy religion that sacrifices human beings on the top of a pyramid and yanks their hearts out. That's what the Aztec religion believed. Let's stand together. Why did I end it with that note, Lord? It seems like it should have been more positive, but maybe because it's so serious. It's so serious to teach our children well, to teach them the wisdom of the scriptures and Jesus Christ, that as mothers, that's the most important thing for them to do. As I sat with my own mother this past week, I asked her to write down for the rest of her kids and grandkids and great-grandkids how she and her husband, my father, turned to faith in Jesus Christ and how that transformed their lives. Because greater than any physical inheritance is a spiritual one. It's showing people how to come to Christ. How much do we love our loved ones? We love them a lot. We love our kids. We love our families, hopefully. We love them so much that we want them to be with us forever. But there's only one way for that to happen. And that way is Jesus Christ. Because he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to God but by me. That sounds exclusive because it is exclusive. There's no other way. There's no other religion. Christianity is not religion. It is relationship to our Maker, the one who designed us, God Almighty. So if you want him in your life, it's time for you to open your heart. And if you have a mother who's been praying for that for years, maybe it's time for you to do so. And that would be the happiest Mother's Day of all. So you need to say the prayer that would make her heart sing. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Transform me, a sinner. Forgive me, renew me, reconcile me. In Jesus' name, amen.